Mary Lou Williams was one of Marianne McPartland's favorite pianist composers, and today we pay tribute to her with this program when she was a guest in the first season of Piano Jazz in 1979. The program begins with a piano and bass blues.
Mary Lou, now how do you explain, that's really terrific, but how do you explain this to your kids?
Like,
what's this chord? Like they say, like you play some chord like that.
I didn't
that.
Play a chord like that.
Well, but I mean, I know you didn't, but I'm saying a chord with
this.
A lot of notes. All right, so but how would you?
I tell them the chord. It's a B flat ninth, flat fifth in it. And I give them the chord, see, and make sure that they can hear it.
But the actual voicings, you know, this is something I've
well, that's
always being
theory.
Asked
see,
about.
I can teach you how to paint, but I can't teach you how to mix your colors. And so what I teach them is the sounds that they would get. They may want to do it like this. It's a different way of doing it. You
all
can
right,
do it like
say,
that.
So you want to do it like that?
Huh. Like here's that. Another way. Here's another way. You're getting more modern.
Yeah,
I still have that B sound in it. Look.
Well, I haven't even had a chance to welcome you to the show, and it's really such a thrill for me because
that's nice to know.
You know, you've always been one of my big influences and somebody that I've looked up to and admired a lot because I think what you've done something nobody else has done in music. Being a pianist of your caliber and a terrific arranger. In fact, something I wanted to ask you, I know you're teaching now down at Duke University, and I wondered if you'd been writing some band arrangements or anything for the kids.
Of course, I'm doing a little bit of everything. I'm teaching writing. I'm teaching the history of jazz, and the kids are very enthused about it.
Do you play that for them?
Well, that's how I teach the private students, you know, whenever they
come to me,
I try to teach them. I take them back to Fats Waller. That's like a metronome, but it isn't that corny, stiff beat that you know you would get from a metronome. It's has a lot of love in it. It's a flow, like the wheels of an engine. You know, it's going like that.
Chugging right along.
Right.
Well, how do you get them to absorb that, or to learn to play that left hand?
Well, it's difficult. They don't always make it, but they try. Well, you see, that's the basic feeling in the music, even though you're playing some other style, avant-garde or something else, but that's a basic feeling of jazz.
Wasn't your mother, didn't you tell me she played the organ?
Yes.
In church?
Yes, in church and at home.
What a marvelous start for you. I guess that's how you got started playing from her, wasn't it?
Of course. She taught me spirituals and ragtime, and during that period, I think boogie was quite popular, you know, that type of bass.
It's not easy to play. You've got some very good chops. Boy, that thing is not easy.
There's so many different left-hand movements of that, you know. I play two, and there's at least 10 or 20, you know.
I used to listen to somebody, I think.
And then.
Oh, that's a hard one, and then there's. Boy, they're as hard as any classical music to get them even and get them smooth. You know, one thing you didn't do, something contemporary, because you're one of the very few people who has not gone along with any fads and the things that come along in music. You've always gone your own way, but yet you've always been contemporary.
Well, so
you've always
missed it there. I'm the only living musician that has played all the years. Other musicians lived through the years and they never changed the style. You know how that happened? My mother taught me spirituals, ragtime. I was in Kansas City with Lester Young, Ben Webster. That was my era of the 30s. Oh no, the 29s. I was with the John Williams syncopators.
That was before Andy Kirk.
Okay, and I was only in grade school when I was with them. I played with Duke Ellington before I was 12 years old. They were the Washingtonians at the Lincoln Theater in New York. And musicians used to take me there before I even finished high school for musicians like Jelly Roll Morton or Fats Waller to listen to. And I also played with Johnny Hodges and Benny Carter. Fats Waller and all of them at the Rhythm. You've heard of the Rhythm Club in New York?
Sure.
Before I was 12 or 13 years old.
What
I was
a fantastic
right there with all of them.
Growing and, up for you, though. What a fantastic background you had.
The fourth era, the bop era. The musicians used to come to my house and write the music. Bud Powell, Monk, and Tad Dameron, Sarah Vaughan, Mel Torme, Earl Garner. They were there every morning after I left the cafe downtown.
Cafe Society?
Yes, and what I was doing, I was playing a swinging left hand then, and I quit my job on the east side and just stayed home and started hanging out on 52nd Street.
I just remember this minute where I met you, the Downbeat. Remember that little hole in the wall, that little tiny club on I think it was 54th.
Yes, 52nd or 54th, it was 50. I was doubling with Billy Taylor.
I know.
And I had a group with me, Benny, what was the... Kenny Durham,
yeah,
and Klug, and who else on bass? Oscar
Pettiford. I think,
oh,
was in
terrific.
There. And another time I came in, Percy Heath was there.
Yes,
and Bill Harris was there. Mm-hmm. It was a tiny place, and I remember. I think I had already started at the Hickory House, mm-hmm. and I would run over and just stand in the doorway, you know, with my mouth open, watching you people.
Well, I was
doing
booked in
thing.
As a trio, and when it ended up, I had four men on the line. There was seven of us. I used to do weird things like that, you know, in New York.
Play another blues in another key. What's your favorite key?
Doesn't matter. It's according to what mood I'm in.
What mood are you in now? Are you in a B flat mood or are you in a D flat mood?
Well,
or are you
I
in an A
know.
Flat mood?
I could just be flat, period. Here's a pretty one.
Oh, I love this thing.
Is the blues. Thank you.
That's a fascinating piece. That's called Baby Man, isn't
yes.
it? What an interesting title.
We went
title.
Free, and the bass went free, and that's what we were doing in a blues. There's so many different forms of jazz, it isn't even funny. There's also what we would call a ballad.
You mean with a blues feeling?
You know, this thing I wrote, Watch Your Morning Star.
Oh, sure, I play that
that's
all the
ballad.
Time. Was that
it's
the key playing?
It's a ballad in? Blues.
Just getting into the act because I love that thing so much.
Yes,
but I never do it in that key. That's a nice key.
D flat.
D flat. But don't you think different keys set up different vibrations?
Set up different moods.
Different
right.
moods altogether.
Yeah.
See, now you probably could turn around if you felt a different way and play that in A or
You'd
something. You
play it differently if it was in another key. You'd think differently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because your fingers have to move in different places. You can't get into those cliches. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get myself into playing certain patterns and then I start to bore myself, so I change key and try to play the whole thing somewhere else.
Right.
Do you ever play in B?
With Andy Kirk, I played all the keys because the pianos were, you know, it was damp in Florida, and I played B, E, A, and F sharp.
You mean the piano would be like
half a tone,
half a tone low, so you'd be playing in B and thought
yes.
where you should be in C. Oh, well, that's happened to me.
No, I had to because it was a half tone flat, you know, the pianos.
You started with that band when you were really
16,
very young, didn't you?
Something like that.
What a tremendous thing, though, for a young girl to be involved in a band like that where you got... You were able to play and arrange and hear all these mm-hmm.
Well, they taught they taught me everything I knew about arranging and whatnot. And they were pretty rough with you if you weren't doing what you were supposed to.
Really?
You know, with the piano.
Who was in the band?
John Williams, my husband,
right.
Andy Kirk, and Donnelly. I can't remember all the names, just the first name.
I was just wondering.
They were beautiful boys.
Well, you've been with big bands since then, haven't you? Did you have,
no,
ever have a band
that was
of your own?
I was I think I was the first female that Benny Goodman ever hired when I worked with him, you know. And he got this
modern
group, Fats, Navarre, and all of them. I worked with his band, and I sat in for Duke once when he was ill in the hospital at the Apollo Theater. They sent Billy Strayhorn, all of them sent for me to play with the band while he was in the hospital. And Andy Kirk, Duke, Garcia, and who else? Benny Goodman.
I think to work with Benny must have been quite an experience,
wasn't it? And I
worked
with Diz an awful lot even now.
Did Benny give you the ray?
The what?
The ray, the look.
No, he never does. I don't know why, but the guy
says... You give him the ray right back,
no, the guy
you?
Said when you come around, he plays more. But you see, I don't bother him. That, he doesn't do that too much. But he did one time, he did it to the other guys, and he made me angry. He used to walk over and says, he didn't like what the guitar was playing. I says, blow your horn. You know, but he's been very nice to me.
Well,
you know,
that's good. He should. I don't know. There's so many things. My mind is buzzing with all kinds of things that I want to ask you about. And one of them was that tune you wrote out for me years ago.
It was
in D flat. Yeah, that picture I showed you that you wanted to grab away from me.
Mm-hmm.
You wrote out this tune.
Scratches of the gravel. Scratching in the Gravel.
Such a title.
Yes, that was a title.
Well, a lot of your tunes have have interesting titles. There was one, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Titoros?
That was Titoros. Billy, yeah.
We've got a record with that on.
Billy Taylor wrote that.
I thought that was yours. It had one of those.
No, I played it. We exchanged tunes at one time when we were, playing together. And he wrote Titoros. I haven't played that in years.
Because I remember that had such a great percussive rhythmic feel to it. In fact, mm-hmm. I've got it on a small mm-hmm. record at home. It's one mm-hmm. of my treasures. And then there was another thing that I remember. I don't know what the tune was, but I remember the bass line. You always get these good bass lines going. Like this was sort of like. Something like that. See you, yeah, right. Yeah. And then you played a minor blues on top of that.
What was the name of that?
I don't know. You were using it as a theme at the cookery when I came to hear you once at the cookery, and I thought, boy, that is a nice sounding bass line.
Yes, I've forgotten what that was.
But you always get those, you know. That's one of the things mm-hmm. that I would like to do. I think of you a lot when I'm trying to do one, you know, because they don't mm-hmm. come out the same way.
They make a composition interesting with the bass figure.
How do you put a tune together? I mean, if you...
You hear it in your head and you write it. You may be driving your car someplace and then you hear this thing in your mind and you start writing it.
But can you keep it in your head till you get home?
Well, no. Sometimes I have a little piece of paper in the car and I just jot down three or four of the notes and then I can remember it.
That's smart, because I finally learned to do that. For years I would hear something and I'd say, well, I'll write that when I get home. And when I got home it would be gone. So, well then when you get those three notes, do you sit down and develop the thing? Do you?
It's easier to write if you get the beginning of it going.
You know, the one I was thinking of in particular was that one you wrote at the time of President Kennedy's assassination.
Yeah,
I heard you play that in the Hickory House.
Dirge Blues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was marvelous. Marvelous mm-hmm. chord changes. Mm-hmm. Did you have to think about that, or did
just
it
just... played that right off. I can do that, if there's no anything to detract, I can do that with the composition. And I discovered, after I stopped playing for a while, that I do most of my writing playing. I write everything while I'm playing.
Play something you never played before.
How's about Medi? M-E-D-I.
You two go ahead, you and Ronnie.
Thank you.
That's terrific, but you know, it's so much happening for me to get in that. I think I'd get in the way. You know,
There's more to come with Marianne McPartland and Mary Lou Williams with bassist Ronnie Boykins in this program, which was originally part of the first season of Piano Jazz in 1979.
I'd like to play a little rock thing I wrote to see the kids. They've been carried away so much into this rock thing and they kind of lost the feeling of jazz. And I wrote a little thing with Larry Gales. You've heard of him on bass.
Oh, yes, I know Larry
and
Gales.
And it's called Rosa May. Now, it has a rock rhythm, but it's still, I take it back. I put the blues back on top of it because of the feeling that was lost in, you know, in playing other kinds of music.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you get them to have that kind of on two and four rather than, you know, how they always, if they're clapping, they always clap on one.
Well,
you know, it's so square.
That is terrible. If you're playing jazz, it'll just ruin you, you know what I mean? But this is on 4/4, you know what I mean? One, two.
That's what
three,
I mean.
Four.
Right.
Yeah, what they, in rock, they pat on the beat one, two, and it's terrible. It takes the feeling out of the music. So what I'd like to play is Rosa May for you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
That's a terrific thing. You know, that's I remember where I heard that. Now, that's on Zoning, one of your albums,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, uh-huh. That's I remember a little rock thing that I wrote.
But that play that bass line again, will you? No, that's. Uh-huh. Do you have that written down? I can see
yes.
how a lot of
yes.
kids would love mm-hmm. to get into that.
They like it. I have it with the lyric.
It has a lyric too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're going to sing it for us?
No, I can't sing. Should I sing it?
I dare you.
A little bit of love she'll give you, and then she'll steal away. A little bit of a sweet smile, you think you got it made. But you can tell by the way she talks, it's Rosa May. You can tell by the way she walks, it's Rosa May. Sometimes in the evening, when the moon is shining bright, you see her looking pretty, almost love in her eyes. Better beware of Rosa May. Careful, she'll steal your heart away. Enough of that.
That's terrific. George Benson
really?
Better watch out.
Really?
That's great. No kidding.
Well.
That's a cute lyric. Who did the lyric?
I was playing in the cookery. A girl mm-hmm. came through. Mm-hmm. And all the solos that I played on the record, she wrote a lyric.
That's very yes. cute. I hope you're going to do something with that.
Yes.
That was.
But right now, I'd like to play Caravan.
Okay.
This is my favorite.
Listen, your choice.
Thank you.
That's one of the greatest tunes there is, and that's
I like
an
that.
Unusual
it's kind of
way.
Difficult to play because it's on. It doesn't have too many changes in it. You know, one thing going all the time.
See? Yeah, but you made a lot of changes. The things you did in your left hand. Couldn't you play some of those fourth type things that you did? That came in the bridge. Could you do a little bit more of that? Could you do it over? I'm trying to steal it, can't you tell? Oh, she's so sneaky. That's one of my all-time favorite
Mine
tunes.
Mine also. I love that.
But it's amazing because there's two or three sets of changes you have to know. Like the traditional people play a certain yes. set of changes, and the ones you played are the ones...
Yeah, well, you can change them according to how you feel. It's the regular changes.
And other times play. Yeah, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. Right. I don't know, those changes, they just make the tune to me. I guess I'm in love with good harmony. I don't like kind of skinny chords.
No.
You know, like heavy. The big fat ones. Mm-hmm. Well, you're really getting into your stride. You might as well do another. We were talking about Duke, another Duke tune. This one.
Cheap. No, this is the cheapest jumper.
That's it, the cheapest jumping. See, I want to
sounds
learn that
much
off
like
the record.
That one.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. But that's a different one that you don't hear so often. Well,
yes.
We're going to have to wind this thing up, I guess. And so play some nice wind-up music, because I want to thank you and Ronnie for coming and spending this hour with me and all the people listening in. It's really been a kick. We haven't done anything like this for a long time.
Since
we worked at the Composer, remember that? Two trios. You gonna sing some more? All right, then I'll play a little on this. Thank you.
been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland and her guest Mary Lou Williams, with bassist Ronnie Boykins. This program was originally broadcast in the first season of Piano Jazz in 1979. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The original production staff included producer Dick Phipps, recording engineer John Gelinas, mastering engineer Tom Sheely, and executive producer William D. Hay. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. This program was made possible in part by Save America's Treasures through a partnership between the National Endowment for the Arts and the National Park Service Department of the Interior. Original funding was provided by grants from Dixie Radio and Electronics, the National Endowment for the Arts, and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR contributors, which include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives, on the web at hewlett.org. This is NPR.